College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts with The Weekly Report.
Hey everyone, thanks for tapping into the Viral Volley Podcast, or Vodcast, in case you don't know what Vodcast is. It's the video version of our podcast. So with me from Stanford University, we have none other than the blonde bombshell. Not because she's blonde, because she just bombs a ton of stuff. That wouldn't be Charlie Ekstrom. We'd say X going to give it to you, but I saw her and she gave me a good performance this weekend. And the Mad Dog, Mads Fitzpatrick from Florida State, now moving into the number two position, all the way back at you. So, hey, ladies, thanks for coming on to the Viral Volley Podcast, the Collegiate Beach Edition. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We had a ton of results, so much news that we all were talking about that I just realized. So it makes it exciting. So welcome aboard, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Always a fun time chatting with you too, because you guys got great insight. You guys are the insight to the game, the insiders. So let's start off with our first question. As always, what matches, duels stuck out for you two in week one of the early collegiate beach volleyball season? We're going to go left coast to right coast this time around. So that'll be Charlie.
Yeah, I think the first one that kind of stuck out to me right off the bat was this season opener, day opener of USC versus Pepperdine, kind of seeing that depth and that talent coming out of USC's squad and seeing just some domination by them being produced. And then I think going over looking at East Coast games, I think that there were a lot of kind of heated matchups. And even at that Stetson's weekend of that FIU, yeah, the Stetson Spring Fling, that's it. FIU, TCU, FAU, Stetson, just all kind of taking matches off of one another. I thought that was a really exciting weekend of matchups.
All right, Mads, your take a swing at it.
Yes. So I found FAU defeating FIU very interesting. It was the first time in school history that FAU has ever beaten FIU. So I'm really proud of them. I think FSU us defeating Cal Poly was really big for us, going 5-0 with them, being such a high ranked team. I'm really proud of the Seminoles for doing that. And Stanford going to losing 3-2 to UCLA, I thought was a really strong showing from Stanford.
Well, I'm going to jump on the train because, yes, I was watching FSU Cal Poly because, you know, Cal Poly powerhouse with Todd Rogers, and they had some changes to their roster with Amy Ozzie now playing over there. I'm like, well, I think come out there a strong team, but Florida State flexed their muscle and you weren't even in the lineup. That's what's crazy. And they crushed it. They lost four total sets over the four duels this last weekend, which tells me you guys have a lot and you're deep. So good assessment, or just some novice hack saying something?
No, everyone came out super hungry. It was a really, really solid first start for all of us. And I'm really excited to get back in the lineup.
Yep. And then on the West Coast, obviously being in front of Charlie's matches or duels at the doubleheader at UCLA, worked out where I didn't have to be on the broadcast mic because it wasn't working. So I was on the MC host mic, which meant I got to sit on your court and watch all your matches. So it's just cool seeing Stanford and what they're coming up with. Because one of the things that I do see what Andrew Fuller is doing with the program is you're seeing that program be elevated by the players he's bringing in, with Charlie being kind of the tip of the spear, and you can see the other talent that's coming in behind her. So
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. You saw it with our freshmen kind of coming in and adding to that depth that we needed in our roster. We had Zolani and Kate and Maya all coming in and just making an instant impact. And even Emmy down becoming a blocking machine at the fives this weekend helped us upset Long Beach State on Friday, and then came in and we fought hard against UCLA. And I think we're just that much more hungry to come out against them in the future.
Yep. Well, that actually is a good segue into the next question, which athletes, pairs, or entire squad stuck out in your opinion? We'll start with you again, Charlie. And you kind of were, you had some momentum going in there before I cut you off. So go ahead and roll with it.
Yeah, no, I think we have talked about this. I think a standout just pair, and there are the ABCA pair of the week of that freshman duo from TCU. I mean, it was crazy to see how much TCU came out with a fire. And I think that that pair is one to really look out for. I mean, they're freshmen and they're taking off some big name, big ones players already. It's exciting to see where they're going to go.
Good calls. How about you, Mads?
That's exactly who I had too. It's Daniela Alvarez and Tanya Marino Mativa. Sorry if I said any of those wrong. But them just coming out, being the ABCA pair of the week, first week, and being freshmen. And I think TCU's been that team that's just been kind of in the middle, not really making that big jump to the top. And I think that maybe these two freshmen is what could do it for TCU.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to drop a list to you of the top pairs of the week and call. I don't know if it's going to be published, but I mean, for the most part, I'm in agreement with it. And I'll start at number 10 spot. Erica Brock and Morris?
Yeah, McKenzie. Morris,
from FAU at the 10 spot, or at number 10. And 9, E.L. Lindahl and Megan Rice from LMU at the number 9. And new face here, Megan Kraft, and I believe she played with Haley Hallgren of USC in that first duel against Pepperdine at the 8. Brooke Bauer and Carly Skjote of Pepperdine at the 7. And then actually, you already mentioned, is it Daniela Alvarez and Tanya Mateeva of TCU? Wow, look at that memory. Savvy Simo and Lexi Denneberg at the number 5 spot from UCLA. Molly McBain and Elena Chacon from Florida State at the 4. Tina Gradinas and Smith Slater at USC. Number 3, Haley Harward, Julia Scholes from USC. Number 2, and number 1, Karen Cloth and Kristen Nuss from LSU. So is that a legit list of top 10 teams from this last week 1?
Yeah, that seems pretty accurate to me.
Because there's seems a lot going accurate. On.
A lot going on. I think all of those teams too produced really, really solid results. And you even mentioned Meg Kraft and Haley Hallgren, and then both of them produced that win together, and then both of them split in the next duels, and they both produced wins with their next teams as well, with Haley going with Joy Dennis and Meg going with Delaney Maple. And I thought that it was really cool. Seeing the depth of all of these rosters now.
Right. Now, you guys have both seen the ABCA poll that came out at noon today, or that would be 3 p.m. Eastern time for you. So, but apparently Matt's got to look at it. And Charlie, I'm curious what you guys think about what came out. Was it right on points? Is it someone taking too much medical marijuana? What do you guys think of today's poll? Go for it. We'll go with Matt.
Okay. Yes, I thought it was pretty spot on. I'm really looking forward to playing number 1 LSU on their home turf, hopefully upsetting them and then switching from that 2-1 spot. So yeah, I think that the ratings that came out add fuel to some people's fire, and I think they're pretty accurate.
How about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I thought that 1-4 toss up, that kind of mix up of those teams, was pretty dead on. Like Mads was saying, that kind of, I loved seeing FSU pop up. I thought that their sweep of Cal Poly was huge and that they earned that 2's spot. I also thought that the mix-up of numbers 11 through 20, just everyone kind of being up in the air, tossing up, I thought that that was kind of cool to see. And I think that we're kind of going to be seeing that for the rest of this season. I think everybody's kind of battling and everybody's pretty gritty. And so I thought that that mix-up, I think that everything's pretty dead on here.
No doubt. I mean, that, you know, we were mentioning that Stetson Spring Fling, and essentially those are the teams that are ranked from anywhere between 11 and 16, if you include South Carolina in the mix there, but they literally all beat each other up and it was a wash. TCU came up floating atop of that heap for the weekend, but they're all going to see each other again, and they all did some damage to each other. So that 11 through 16 is going to be really interesting to keep an eye on. And my guess is a few of them will punch into the top 10. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I completely agree. I think that we'll see that as well.
What are the matches, duels that you're going to be watching this upcoming week 2? We'll start with you, Charlie.
Yeah, I think that this one is an easy to watch, easy goer of number one versus number two at LSU, FSU versus LSU. I think that we're all excited to see that one. I know Mads is very excited to see her team come in. That's a battle that I think has been long awaited at this point. And I think that that's just going to be a really exciting one to watch. That's my pick.
Show you popcorn back and forth, because I know we're watching more than one. So let's have Mads have a turn here at what she's going to be watching.
I'm looking forward to UCLA versus USC. That's a rivalry as old as time. As long as I've been watching college beach volleyball, even before I got to college, I was watching UCLA and USC. And I know that both of those teams are always just so hungry to beat each other and upset each other. So UCLA, USC, for sure a good watch.
Well, there's to be an X factor in that matchup because Charlie discovered this last weekend that Abby Van Winkle wasn't in the number one spot with Savvy Simo. It was Lexi Denneberg, and there was a little shuffle. Do you think that will be a game changer for UCLA? And we'll start with you on this one, Mads.
I am a huge fan of Lexi Denneberg. I think she is so powerful and as equally consistent as she is just strong. So I think that is a really strong number ones pair.
Yep. And you're right with Lexi Denneberg. I don't know if you caught my social feed from this last weekend, but I happened to be filming and she just bombed one that, I mean, the thing is going viral on Instagram right now. You know, 20,000 views, it's being reshared. But I mean, what do you think, Charlie, about the Lexi and then the Abby Van Winkle factor?
I experienced Lexi firsthand, and that woman I've known for a while, she is a powerhouse, and she by all means embraced that and was an absolute powerhouse, and she's just going to be fire this whole season. And I think that her showing this weekend was just a little bit of a taste at what she's capable of. And I do think that Abby, I think that's definitely going to be an interesting kind of sight to what UCLA does, to see if Abby comes back or to see if she's not in that lineup. I think that definitely is a hurt for UCLA's lineup because Abby's a talent and Abby's so consistent. And so I think that she's one that hopefully will get back in there. And if not, then I guess it's kind of a good sign for the rest of us.
Okay. Well, I'm going to insert one on there as well because Cal Poly UCLA, because they're all going to be at USC for that, I guess, a tri-duel. And I know that Florida State kind of had their way with the Mustangs, but I know that team is good too. So, and with UCLA still figuring out what they're going to do, I feel like it's going to be a coaching chess match between Todd and then Stein. And then of course, you know, Dane's going to be there when they all play each other. So I don't know if anyone's going to want to show their cards so early in the season. So the coaching minds are going to be working like crazy, I think, at that location on that same day. So let's go back over to Charlie. Any other ones you'll be watching?
Well, you did just steal mine with Cal Poly versus UCLA. But looking at this kind of list of matchups, I think that I'm going to look at, let's see it. I kind of want to see this rematch versus USC and Pepperdine. And then I also want to see Cal Poly versus USC, because like you said, Cal Poly is a talented squad. And while FSU did take them, like you said, I mean, you can never deny just the power that Todd Rogers can kind of bring to a squad and with how talented they are. Like, I think that they're going to be a force in the rest of this season still.
All right. Good stuff. Mads, what are you looking at? What's your other one?
I'm looking forward to seeing the FIU-TCU rematch. FIU is always consistently such a good team and TCU beat them. So I'm looking forward to seeing that rematch to see if those freshmen, the ABC pair of the week, can still hold on to that undefeated season so far.
And I'm going to end the last of the picks with a battle for Florida, so to speak. FAU, the dark horse team that's in that 11 to 16 range against Florida State. Mm-hmm. Because I know they've got a good number one pair and they've been doing some really good things, especially this first week of competition. So, I mean, it's definitely not a team to sleep on. Would you agree, Mads?
Oh, I agree full-heartedly. Every year at conference championships, they are just so fired up. Over on one, it's just the craziest top spin serves we've ever seen. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them go all out this weekend against us.
Yep. I just wanted to also add, like, one of the other players that I wanted to throw in there was one of your teammates from this weekend who really was an eye catcher. And Charlie, you were spot on. Zelani Hodel. I had no idea had the skills for beach. I've seen indoor because I'm like, how did Craig Pezzanti at Huntington Beach High School not win a state championship with that athlete? But seeing her on the sand and as a freshman with the maturity, the skill set, the power, and the leadership she had as a true freshman was amazing to see.
Yeah, Zoe, I mean, she's incredible. It is so nice to have her as a part of our team. I love having her. I love playing against her. I love playing with her. She adds so much to our practices. And I think something that Zoe has that I really appreciate the most is finesse. I think that you saw it, Rob. She's got kind of these kind of finesse, cagey shots, and just kind of has this vision that is really, really well-educated. And just like you said, spot on. She's a true freshman and is such a talent. And we're so lucky to have her.
Well, it'd only be fair to allow Mads to choose a newcomer as well from her coast that stuck out from this last weekend. So if there was someone, I know I'm kind of catching you off guard here, but is there someone whose performance that caught your eye that was either a new face on a squad or a true freshman?
Can I pick someone from my team?
Oh yeah, by all means. We just picked one of Charlie's teammates.
Okay, that's true. Kira Rutz. She was a freshman last year, and then we had COVID. So this is kind of her first true year with the full season. And she's playing on our twos with Tori Van Winden right now. And she comes out with absolutely no fear, not playing like a little timid freshman that sometimes they do that. But she is truly inspiring, such a good teammate. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how she helps out our team this year.
Yeah, Kira Rutz is an excellent choice. I actually got to see her in 2019 competing with Tessa Van Winkle, I believe. No, is Abby in the that circuit here in July with Santa Monica, all the juniors tournaments. And she's got a tough serve and is a great defender. So two solid picks right there between Zelani and Kira.
Just adding too with Kira, I grew up in volleyball with Kira. We played a lot growing up. And I mean, she, like you said, Mads, that energy, when I saw her playing with Tori, I was like, oh, that's a dynamic pair. And she's got fire. She's solid.
Well, we are now moving into our fan questions here. And there are a few, there's actually four this week. And I love the fact that it's getting the engagement that it is, because ladies do such a wonderful job of answering them. We've got four total questions, three for both of you and one just for Mads, unless somehow, Charlie, you want to chime into a Mads situation there. But let's start with the first one. If scoring could be changed to eliminate or reduce sandbagging a team into a lower position, for example, to win at the one spot is worth more points than to win at the two spot and all the way down. What do you guys think about if scoring should be changed to that particular format? And we'll start with, we'll go with Mads on this one.
I am personally against that format strictly because on our team we preach 1 through 5, all those wins are the exact same. And it kind of gives a sense of purpose and equal belonging to each person on the team. So I just like the scoring the way it is right now. And I think a lot of people would agree.
Okay. Charlie, take a swing.
Yeah, I could not agree anymore on that. That's something that we preach on our team as well, is 1 through 5 is all equal weight. We are all of equal importance, and that every single player on the team makes a positive difference and makes the same difference. And I think that giving a more weight almost kind of creates a negative culture on a team. Whereas right now it's a culture of importance for everybody versus having somebody playing at one spot, telling them that they mean more than somebody who plays at a different spot when you're all playing for the team. I think that it's not worth it.
Well, I've got to ask a naive question because I've only been like following the collegiate beach game this closely, probably for the last 2 or 3 years, but is sandbagging an issue? Are there squads, without naming them, of course, we want to be positive. Does that happen? And is it malicious? And whoever knows, can say something about it, feel free to just chime in. Because this is when I saw the question, I'm like, this happens? So, we got silence.
I can add, I mean, I think it happens here and there. I wouldn't say that I'm completely foreign to the idea. I've had experiences where we've played against, or we've had situations where it felt like that. But at the same time, I don't think that it's a big enough issue to where it, like, I think that at the end of the day, like, beach volleyball has always had this incredible culture of respect. And I think that coaches nationwide, all kind of understand that sandbagging isn't the way to earn the respect / the winnings nationally that it should.
Right. Anything else to add there, Mats?
Yeah, I agree. I think sandbagging is sometimes very obvious and coaches don't really feel the need to start up conflicts with other coaches, because I mean the beach volleyball world is so small and the coaches are all kind of friends, so I don't really see it happening that often, just because I feel like the coaches don't really want to create any sort of extra conflict.
Yeah, I mean, I get that sense too, even from the men's side also, coaching wise there's like this group, although they're competitive with each other, the main thing is they all get along, their family. You know, they don't want to upset the delicate balance that there is in the relationship that they have. So that's why I was surprised to see that question. I'm like, would someone do that? All right, here's the other fan solicited question number two. Is there any flexibility in changing the roster due to COVID this year? Or same rules of moving someone up and down one spot? And we'll start with Mads on this one.
So I am actually not completely informed on the decision yet. I remember talking to my coach and she was saying how the coaches are all talking about it and then they're coming up with that decision, but I'm not entirely informed on the subject.
Okay. Charlie, you have any information on that?
Same here. I think that as of right now, everything that I've heard is that like the only kind of like replacement is if they were at the sixes, obviously they can come in at kind of filler spots. But I haven't heard anything along the lines of COVID replacement situations. I know that the roster is obviously flexible for always, regardless of season, but I don't know if the lineup, I don't know at this point, because we haven't had anything to experience that yet.
Yeah, sitting at the duel this last weekend, one of the more seasoned referees, who was a friend of mine, one of the top guys that we see on the West Coast, who's been doing it for a very long time. He didn't allude to any major changes to that at all. He said, if there's an injury, everyone moves up one, and then the extra person in the sixth spot just goes into the five. I mean, it's all just a rack and stack effect. So it didn't sound like there are any major adjustments being made for COVID purposes. So if we're wrong, we apologize, whoever's listening and watching. Email the girls, don't email me. I got enough complaints on me already. All right, question number three. Is it the coach's prerogative for order of play? For instance, playing the fours and fives, then the one through three, or is there a general rule? And I know we were talking beforehand, this is interesting. I'd love this topic. So we're gonna start with Charlie on this one and then go to you, Mads.
Yeah, so I mean, what we talked about before is there isn't really a general consensus with every school on like, this is the way that we do the order. I know that the way that our duels went the past weekend, it started off with 2-4-6 and then went 1-3-5 afterwards. And so kind of the even numbers and odd numbers played. I think that it really just varies school to school. I think it's kind of the school's decision. Yeah, like the coach's decision there. But at the end of the day, it's pretty much everybody still plays everybody. So I think that the waves are pretty arbitrary at that point.
Okay. And Mats, your take, what's your experience with it?
Yep. I agree with Charlie. It's pretty much up to the home team's decision who needs to play first. Like we this weekend played 6-5-4 and then 3-2-1 played. And I agree with Charlie. It's everyone's playing everyone no matter what. So it doesn't truly matter, in my opinion, in the order that people play.
So it's not just the coaches trying to create a drama-filled atmosphere for the fans that are in attendance or watching online. Let's go with the 2-4-6s and then the 1-3-5s. So, but I mean, as you see the way the game develops, it creates for so much drama when it comes down to that dual deciding match on court one and all your other teammates are crowding around that court and yelling everyone on. It's just such a special time.
That's one of my favorite parts about beach volleyball season is when it's 2-2 and it comes down to that final court and everyone's crowding around there. It's just so exciting. Like, the energy is unlike anything else.
Yep. All right. This is the final question, and this is for Mads. And then Charlie, you can definitely chime in, because I think that you're well-versed enough and you've been through enough volleyball to have an experience with this. But this is for Mads. Does Mads expect to be in the lineup this weekend? And can she divulge what kept her out of the first four duels for the Seminoles?
I am heartbroken to not be able to play in the first weekend with my team. Like, literally shattered. But it's because I'm not medically cleared yet to play in an official game. I'm not even cleared to practice yet. I'm wearing a heart monitor right now, and it's just the doctors being extra careful, which I completely understand. I'm hoping to get back this weekend. It's all up to the doctors clearing me, but fingers crossed, because I can't wait to play again.
All right. And Mads, I mean, hearing that kind of news, like, especially with a teammate, I mean, how does that, from your perspective, knowing that you got a man down that's on your squad, I mean, how do you support that person?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. Everyone has been so uplifting to me. My team is just the most caring individuals out there. It's been really nice too, because I've been able to sit on the sideline, which is something I haven't done in a while, and get that perspective from the players on the sideline, and just really give back to my team, cheer them on, be the super positive self that I am. So it's been a really good learning experience for me, and my team has been very uplifting.
Anything to add, Charlie?
I mean, I think that it's really unfortunate. And I mean, Mads, you had told me this, and my heart broke a little bit for you at the thought of you not getting to play in that season opener. But I think, like you were saying, like, nothing but respect for the doctors for being extra safe there. I can't wait to see you get back out there and keep on playing. And it is fun, like, cheering on your teammates, and you are such a positive individual, and you, like, just our experience of getting to know each other, like, you've always been such a light. So I'm sure that everybody really appreciated that little bit of extra energy that you were able to give.
Thank you.
I won't make you divulge who you'll be playing with. I think that's a secret until you actually show on the court. Is that correct? I mean, that's the sense I've been getting when I contact coaches. So I'm like, hey, who are you going to put on the court? And no, we're going to wait till 10 minutes before. I'm like, you're kidding, right? Going to post it anywhere?
No, there's definitely strategy that goes on with that. So I'm not going to divulge any information.
I just had no idea it was that serious. I mean, in men's indoors, like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, if they haven't watched tape already, you know, they'll find out.
It's a whole different level of serious over here.
Yep. Well, Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford and Mads Fitzpatrick of Florida State, I can't thank you enough for coming on again. I wish you the best of luck in this upcoming week of duels, and also being awesome teammates. And I look forward to chatting with you next week. And same topics, same bad time, same bad channel. For the Bio Volley Podcast, I'm Rob on the mic. And stay tuned. I actually have a special interview that some friends of mine who I met a couple of years ago, by the names of Delaney Maple and Megan Kraft, who I got to speak to after their first duel. So after playing apart from each other and coming together for the second duel. So, but until next week, we'll see Charlie and Mads chiming in here with their awesome stuff and info regarding the game. Ladies, have a good week.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Rob Aspero, and with me today are Delaney Maple and Megan Kraft of USC. And let's be honest, they're kind of like the freshman wonder kids that people's keeping an eye on. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity to get in contact with them after their first duel. So I wanted to ask you both this question. You've just concluded your first and second ever collegiate duels, coming out of an extended absence of both competitive, collegiate, and professional volleyball because of the AVP Hermosa Beach. On top of that, both of you are definitely athletes people are following in collegiate beach volleyball. So what did it mean for the both of you to be back playing yesterday, almost after a full year of not playing? And we'll start with you, Megan.
So we were actually able to play in a couple like AVP Nexts, like in like New Jersey, and we played in Wisconsin tournament, and I was able to play in like Florida once in November. So like we've had some experience playing, but it's definitely a totally different style of play almost when you're playing for like your college team, because it's like a whole unit together and we're so used to like beating each other up in practice. And you're like, who's gonna be paired up with who today? Who's gonna play who? And everyone's super talented on our team. So every practice is so high level. It's like unbelievable. But it was really cool to be able to like come together as a team and like have to play somebody else for a change and not have to keep playing each other. And I think like playing each other in practice with such a high level of players and talent really like prepared all of us to play against Pepperdine and hopefully all the other colleges we come to face. But it was super cool. It was a really cool experience, and I'm excited for the next coming up games.
Yeah. How about you, Delaney? Same question.
Yeah, kind of almost the same thing. I mean, our team is something really, really special this year. And I think at every practice, it's the most competitive practice. Like, I feel like every practice gets more and more competitive with each other. And it's been super cool because I feel like it's a team that like you never really have to worry about, like, are they all in, or like, are they totally into this team and ready to go? Like, everyone is so involved. And I think it's super cool because going yesterday, we've just been playing so hard at each other that I think everyone felt really ready and like ready to go for that game, which I thought was really cool. But I think for us, just as freshmen, I was definitely anxious and so excited, just because I feel like we've known that we were going to SC for so long that this like day of having this first game day was always so far in advance. Like, at least for me, I just always thought like, oh, our first game day, like that's so far away. Like, I'm not in college yet. And then all of a sudden I woke up yesterday and I was like, I'm playing my first college game this morning. Like, it was just a super cool moment, and we really owe it all to our staff and our coaches. Like, they've been doing so much for us to be out there yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing like countless amount of hours just to keep us safe, obviously, in this weird time with COVID and everything. So yeah, it was a really, I think for the players that have already played before too, it meant a lot more to them, just in the fact that they didn't know if they were going to have another season this year and how everything was going to pan out with COVID. So I think it was just all around like a really special day that we were able to go back.
Yeah. In your first duels of your collegiate career, you faced AVCA preseason number 10 Pepperdine. For the first duel of the day, you were separated. Megan played with Haley Hallgren, and Delaney, you were paired up with Joy Dennis. Was it weird not competing with each other? And what are your thoughts on finishing your first day of the duels 2-0 and 1-1 respectively? We'll start with you, Delaney.
I think it's always a little weird not playing together, just in the fact that we've played together for a really long time the past few years. And but like I said earlier, our team is so deep and it's such a crazy team that whoever they pair you with, you're with like an amazing volleyball player. And it's just, I think that's something that's really special and not a lot of teams have. And I think Meg and I both, we love playing together, and I think it's something really special. But I think we're also both just trying to find our spot in the lineup that our coaches think is going to work best for this team to make a run at national championships this year. And I think it was also really cool that we both had the opportunity to play with the captains and just kind of getting to play with two girls that have had so much experience in the team. And I know like Joy had my back like that whole game. It was a really cool environment just knowing I was playing with someone who's played so many games for SC. But then it was super fun getting to come back together and play a game, because it's always super fun when we get to play together. So right. I think, yeah, we're both just trying to find our spot in the lineup and do whatever Dane and Gustavo think is best. But overall, I had a blast yesterday. It was super fun.
That's awesome. How about you, Megan? Thoughts on the separation of the Wonder Duo?
Yeah, and honestly, we've had so much, like every single practice, there's been a lot of shuffling around and us playing with different people pretty much every week, or like sometimes by every day. So it honestly like wasn't too weird when he called out the lineup and we weren't together, just because we honestly didn't play that much together in the practices that and like stuff like that. But I think it's going to be very interesting just because we have so many talented players, and you can definitely like, I think it's the best problem to have for Coach Dane and Gustavo, that like they're trying to figure out out of like all the good players that we have, like who plays best with who, and there's so many different combinations you can do. And I think it's really valuable to be so deep in case someone gets injured or someone gets hurt, and someone can just step up and fill in really easily and the team wouldn't be affected too much. So it was a really fun experience to play with Haley, and it was of course fun to play with Delaney too. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the season and to see what will happen, but yeah, our team is so deep. So whatever happens, you know, we'll just do what's best for the team and play our hardest. And that's all you can ask for.
Well, the question is, would you say it wasn't fun playing with Delaney, even though she's right there on the screen? Just kidding. I had to get that one in there. Well, next question for you both. March 4th, you take on some powerhouses. I mean, you take on number 10, preseason number 10, then you move on up, preseason number 6, Cal Poly, and then preseason number 2, UCLA. What goes through your minds as you begin to prepare for these? I mean, let's be honest, they're the top teams in the nation, along with USC. We'll start with you, Megan.
I think Coach Dan and Coach Gustavo are preparing us really well in practice. Like we said multiple times, but the team is so, so deep, and every practice is so competitive. Like you keep trying to figure out new ways of how to beat each other. And it's just making everyone better and elevate their game literally every single day. Like I think from the start of our training to now, everyone is playing so much better and everyone has so many more like tricks and skills that they develop. So I think that can only benefit us against UCLA and Cal Poly, but I'm really excited to play them. And I'm sure they're going to have they both have really deep teams and really solid lineups too. So it's going to be fun to see what they bring out. And we'll just work hard to be prepared, but you never know. And I'm excited for next week.
Excellent. How about you, Delaney? Anything else to add there? I'm sure you got a lot
of
big matches.
Or big yeah, I'm super excited. I think it's going to be a super cool day just because it's unique in the fact that we've been able to play a lot of these players beforehand. Obviously, we don't know who we'll match up against, but it's cool just knowing that we know a lot of people on the UCLA team, and also we know a handful of people on Cal Poly. So I think it's just kind of comes down to trusting our training. Like Meg said, everyone has gotten so much better from our first day, and we've all been grinding so hard lately that I think it's just going to come down to trusting what we've been doing and trusting all the hours we've been putting in and all this commitment, because like we've said so many times today, like our team is so deep, and it's something that's super cool just in the fact that we can kind of trust everyone on this team and know that everyone's going to go so hard. And I can't wait. Like, I think it's going to be something super special, especially for us, like our first game as Trojans playing UCLA, I think it's going to be something super special as well. So I can't wait. I think it's going to be awesome.
You have to admit the little jabbering across the net too, since you're familiar with the players.
Yeah, I think it'll be definitely a competitive, full fire game. Excellent. I'm excited.
Well, have USC's Delaney Maple and Megan Kraft after their first pair of duels against number 10 Pepperdine. Thanks for coming on today, and best of luck against Cal Poly and UCLA next week.
Thank you so much. Of course,
thank you so much for having us.
Hey y'all, thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.